Ready?
There's all good things here.
Yeah,
all
like
good things
guy.
Here. Okay.
Maybe.
Is it because you don't like Hugh Jackman?
Hold on.
Ooh, keep doing that. That's like a sound effect. Want to use that again.
Okay, I really need it quiet for a second. Now I don't even know how to open this
up. Can we start with saying that?
Oh, the anticipation was
we are
killing me.
Such professionals.
Somebody else want to do this?
Nope. Just look for the penis.
All right, guys.
Look for the penis.
All right.
All right.
No, you're not even close. You're not even cool.
Do it then, Tyler.
I'm saying you can open it. Just don't do all right. I was just
please don't.
Jokes.
Yeah.
Welcome to another amazing episode. We're calling it amazing from the get-go of the Nerdcast, and I can
Should
tell it's going to be amazing.
You've already
just threw
the bar
the
too high.
Yeah.
Now
I can call it amazing.
All we can do is disappoint
because
Stella.
Of the minute and a half that I just
nowhere
have to,
but down to go.
The minute and a half I have to cut out already tells
pure
me
brilliance.
That was
pure
that was
brilliance.
That was absolute
right.
improv brilliance.
Yeah,
I've been Stella rolling
yes,
over in the graves.
And
how awesome that was, and how you're downplaying it right now.
I'm gonna actually. Not tell people
that was our peak for the
I'm gonna tell people that is not on the extras if we release this in a box set because they will never want their anywhere near it.
I would pay good money to listen to the recorded stuff prior to the beginning of every Nerd.
Would
yeah.
you? Would you,
yeah.
Tyler?
Wait,
I have that
stuff.
Information available.
I feel like it's
if you
want to
awesome. Pay for it,
if you've got the money,
it.
He can find the
yeah.
Data.
I have it all on the computer. So it is another episode of the Nerdcast. We're at episode 6. Back in the studio here, we have the full team.
Good to be home.
Hooray!
Adam.
Hi.
Bob.
Hello.
Aaron.
Meh.
Tyler.
Hello.
Meh.
And Igamus.
Oh, Ignoramus.
Ignoramus.
No, Igamus.
Oh, please.
Igster.
What's that?
The Igalicious.
Igmeister.
Wait, we're not allowed to call you Igs. But you can call yourself things
you
like
can't
Igalicious.
Shorten a nickname. And yes, anybody can call me Igalicious. That's an amazing, amazing version of it. So we're back
the
for another.
Notorious IG.
Iggy.
Can't you see?
No. All
right. Stop it.
All right. So we're back for another episode in studio again, or as Tyler likes to call it, my mom's basement.
I feel like your
like
mom's
we're
basement.
In Aurora, Illinois.
I thought it was going to be
Aurora.
I was really. Thinking,
I don't feel like I've called it your mom's basement for like 3 seasons.
It doesn't matter.
Back when we actually
were
recording
in
the
basement.
In the basement, yeah.
In my basement. Ooh, that's what she said. But
no, she didn't.
We
no.
set Bob up for like She's 20 minutes on that, never anywhere. So there's tons of stuff to talk about. Plenty of exciting going on this week. November 5th, of course. Everybody
remember.
The 5th of November was this
pulling
week.
Pulling out my V for Vendetta shirt tomorrow.
Marvel. Mm-hmm. Marvel with the big, this is the end,
so
coming in summer 2015.
So apparently there aren't going to be any movies in theaters for the next like 10 years that aren't Marvel movies. I'm okay
that.
With that
probably
until they
true.
Make a bad one, but that seems like that's the plan.
So obviously the other news too, of course, at the end of last week.
Animated Disney movies and Marvel. That's all the studio's putting out.
No, they're doing Star Wars.
Star
too.
Wars?
Oh, yeah.
Disney's working on Star
Forgot
Wars also.
So that new
they own
that
everything.
Cartoon's actually not terrible.
Good
it's not
Lord.
Great.
Of course
goodness.
It's not terrible.
The first 5 minutes of this episode's a mess. I'm sorry for promising an awesome episode, guys.
Would
I'm
you
sorry.
Stop critiquing as we go? Because I'm okay. pretty interested.
You're really you're just
pretty
bumming me out
like
here.
Usually they record the movie and then do the commentary afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Like right. over the top of it.
Mm-hmm. You have to do the movie.
So
and here's the
movie?
Point where the whole thing just broke down.
I don't see any video cameras, though. So I guess we're jumping straight into the Marvel stuff. So are we starting with the Marvel comic teaser? Or are we going straight to the cinematic universe news?
Why you got to put structure on us?
Little column A, little column B. You know.
I will not be constrained by your structure.
Right.
We are nonconformists on this podcast here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Throw it on the ground.
Okay. So since it's the oldest news of what we got here, Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 3 announced the day before we actually aired our last podcast, but, you know, we're a little slow on the record to air ratio.
Doing all right.
Our post-production engineers.
Yeah, I'm a little. Yeah, he's not that talented.
Jeez, Debbie Downer, did you have a bad day today? Are you okay?
So,
I think you're the only one not having fun right now.
Yeah, really.
I'm having a great time. Nah. I'm crying in the corner. So, so big news.
Let's get to that news.
Tyler pointed out.
Fifth time.
Tyler already pointed out that every movie over the next what, 10 years now have we established it? I think seven years at least.
There's going to be a Marvel movie basically 2022 was the last year.
Not even a Marvel movie. There's going to be like, oh, DC, you're going to release a movie? We're going to release two movies.
I mean, I'm still not entirely convinced that DC is
releasing all those movies.
I agree.
They haven't sold me on that one yet. The only thing that Warner Brothers has announced recently that I can guarantee will probably be in a theater is another Harry Potter movie.
Right.
That's it. Hey, it's money.
That's
maker.
Legitimately the only thing that's kept that studio afloat for the last, like,
really?
Maybe that and Batman. They just,
I was
they,
say,
just, they put out.
I was going to say Nolan's Sin Copy's been doing all
right. They put out clunker after clunker
right now. Right, but those are 11 movies right there if you look at Nolan's trilogy and then the Harry Potter films dating all the way back to 99, 2000 for
really,
that first
movie.
Well,
to strive on one movie a year. Why not everybody else do it?
Because they weren't making. They weren't making one good movie and nine crappy movies.
Right. Yeah,
they were just making the one.
They made one good movie
every
year.
I only say this because, and they have some really good shows on. Warner Bros. Has got some good properties on TV, making a lot of money between Big Bang Theory, Gotham's doing well, stuff like that. But movie-wise, it's been rough. I mean, they just announced today that Warner Brothers and a lot of Time Warner companies, but Warner Brothers especially, they announced them a while back, but today was the beginning of the layoff of the better part of, 1,000 people at a company that employs 8,000 people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's better than 10% of your workforce because of they just really haven't made money in a while.
Well, they just want to do what all their corporate friends are doing. So, sorry, we promised we wouldn't make this political.
Yeah,
but
you stop it.
So
we can start talking about
what
Ebola,
is
so?
Our favorite. What's the favorite announcement of Phase 3? What is everybody most excited for?
The fact that Captain America 3, and they had already teased it, Captain America 3 is going to focus primarily on the Civil War storyline.
Yeah.
So Robert Downey Jr. brought in for that one.
I mean, I guess the thing that got me with it all was all of those people that said they weren't doing any more of those movies. Like, Robert Downey Jr. was done. Chris Evans was done.
Robert Downey Jr. said he was done unless they'd get Mel Gibson to direct.
I thought it was Howard Stern.
No, it was Mel Gibson.
Well, I heard Howard Stern, too.
Right, but obviously saying that is, Marvel's not turning over a picture to Mel Gibson.
Isn't Evans under contract until number 3?
Yeah, I think he is.
If they follow Civil War to the letter, he's dead after that, and Bucky takes over.
Well, there's already been teaser images of Bucky in the Captain America suit coming out. Just like there's teaser images of many other things. Doctor Strange is, new.
Some of those renderings of Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange are pretty good.
So is that a for sure thing he's going to be Doctor Strange?
I don't think it is yet, though.
I don't think it's for sure.
There's been so many names put in that slot, and I would like to see...
All of those names they've said? I'd take Joaquin Phoenix there.
Say what you will about it. I really want to see Keanu Reeves be Doctor Strange. I think he would be an awesome Stephen Strange.
I know magic.
So I
don't know. There's two new movies. So besides the Civil War arc and Captain America 3, we do have two new franchises being introduced, including Black Panther Captain Marvel. So you have two, not only new franchises,
and the Inhumans.
The Inhumans too. Mm-hmm. But you have of those two, the big thing is I guess with all three, you really have significance because Black Panther gives you your lead with the black superhero. Captain Marvel, of course, in the lead with the female superhero. So two big things that have been made a big deal as of late. The Inhumans is a big deal because in the comic side of things, there's a lot of push for Marvel to replace the popularity of X-Men with Inhumans because X-Men, so much of that money goes to Fox. So,
right.
Yeah. And the Inhumans are, depending on how they decide to tackle it, could be a really interesting storyline. I mean, it's a little weird, but they got away with Guardians of the Galaxy. I feel like they can get as cosmic as they want. And then you add in the fact that Captain Marvel, with using Carol Danvers as, Captain Marvel, is an interesting choice because you get a female character, you don't deal with the whole Marvel alien thing, but she still has huge ties to that cosmic universe, if you will. She has interactions with, Guardians of the Galaxy, things like that.
Many of the characters they're announcing have huge ties to it. I mean, of course, your standard Avengers characters have ties to everything in there, but you're basically saying it leaves it easy to tie everything back together in the end if they
want to. And not to mention the fact that the next two Avengers, like the last two Avengers movies, will be Infinity Wars Part 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Right. With a teaser image of Thanos with the completed gauntlet.
Right. So. I feel like that's what you're tying everything into Phase 3 is how do we pull these people into fighting Thanos? Like, that with Infinity Wars, I mean, that's what you want is he's the bad guy right now, and he's kind of been
and
that.
And we need everyone the in the universe
bad guy,
to stop
right?
him.
Yeah, that's the way it seems like they're trying to move towards.
Yeah. I don't know. Quiet over on this couch.
I don't know.
I agree.
Let's talk about Batman.
Let's talk about
what would you like to talk about?
Well, anything I would talk about is really irrelevant. Oh, jeez, I'm so excited for that. I'm sorry. I think
just
because
he's
going,
ripped now.
He's huge.
Yes.
He's going to be dark. He's going to be scary. I was just talking to Adam about this the other night.
We were.
I think Ben Affleck is going to be one of the best Batman
I think
ever.
That is a bold statement.
I don't give,
and
I
we'll
don't,
get to, we'll get
and
to,
I have high hopes for him, but that's bold.
We'll get to that, but there's still a lot of good things.
I'm still not convinced that movie's coming out anytime in the next decade.
So a lot of good things going on, obviously, with Marvel on that end. A big thing that I had a conversation with Adam about. Oh, yeah.
We did.
Yep.
You two talk?
Yep.
We all want to have conversations with Adam. Cause
so a big thing I talked to Adam about was actually the recent article that I read was very interesting about how everybody except Warner Brothers in DC is worried about DC not competing with Marvel in the movie side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason DC and Warner aren't worried about it is because they're blowing them out of the water on the small screen, which is a lot less money to make in terms of production, actors, and all that stuff, and they're still bringing in tons of money through their CW franchise, Gotham hitting it big now, you know, all those things. So
I watched the pilot of Constantine last
week. I want to see it. I want to see it.
That's what I was going to want. That's what I'm wondering, because if they are, then you got CW, Arrow, Gotham, and getting money from Constantine.
And
Flash.
I was less than impressed.
Were you?
It was a pilot. And like one of the main characters in the pilot, who was in the pilot, like the girl who's in the pilot, gets written out of the show at the end of the pilot, like an add-on, because she's not in the main cast. So like that whole storyline ends up basically like
done.
The whole premise they were building that around. And then the second episode I haven't watched it yet. I DVR'd it, but I haven't watched it yet. The reviews for the second episode haven't been great. The first episode isn't bad. It just doesn't really capture Constantine. It's just him being flippant and saying a lot of Latin at demons and things.
What we were talking about earlier this summer?
Oh.
I haven't decided yet. The guy they have to play Chaz, though, is kind of badass.
You were right.
You were right.
Two episodes.
You've said that it's going to take at least a half a season.
Two episodes does not
really
a television
make a
show
make. Right.
I still can't.
You can write to
Eagleicious. Well, but I'm still not on board with Gotham yet. I'm trying hard to be on board with Gotham. It's not working.
So as much as I'm not interested in these shows, they are successful. Gotham is doing good on the ratings.
Doing really well.
Good, favorable. Like we mentioned, the two CW programs, The Flash has taken off, you know, huge.
It hit the ground running.
Yeah. So, that was funny.
We need to add some sound effects in after that one. So either way, it was a big thing, a big article about how, like, well, you know, they're making money on that side of things, so they're doing all right with that. However, there has been quietly, like you said, the movie may never come out, but there has been, you know, images of Batfleck in his Batfleck shirt, and he's totally ripped right now. More evidence that it's going to follow Frank Miller's arc of The Dark Knight Returns with the casting of what's her name as Robin now.
Yeah.
I
feel like it's a weird jump to go straight from
Jenna,
like,
Malone.
Thank you, Jenna Malone.
I just started as Batman. Like, Batman Begins to, like, the arc of the three Nolan movies and immediately jumped to, like, I've retired and have been Batman for 30
I can
years.
Understand that concern, and I can understand with the people who aren't into the comics.
Are they going to that arc because they're done with Batman? Like, this is Batman's curtain call for DC movies,
and
they got to go to other people?
That was the original goal, is what they really made it seem like. But then all of a sudden, they're like, well, Marvel's doing all this, and we are getting pushed to do this. So now all of a sudden, this old Batfleck is going to be in, like, the next 10
movies. Is Terry McGinnis
going to
be the next
10 movies?
Batman? Like, are we gonna get Batman Beyond?
No, we're gonna name him his name. Oh, you should go by your real name, Robin. Like, no, they're gonna give him like a.
But at the same time, now granted, it's not network TV, but I mean, Marvel hasn't even launched their whole Marvel Knights, Agent Carter, Netflix thing where they're going to have a Daredevil show, a Power Man show.
I'm excited about the Daredevil
Iron
one.
Fest. Yeah. I mean, well, I'm excited about the whole thing because they're going to do all of the Marvel guys
Iron
that help.
Fist.
That could be really cool if you lead in, if you bring in like some Moon Knight kind of stuff and you have a whole Marvel Knights.
Well,
that
you
whole Hell's Kitchen universe.
Oh, yeah.
It's a
you
little,
do like a Shadowland storyland or something like that. It'd be fantastic.
It's a little less risky, so you can do some of that stuff that maybe wouldn't play on network TV.
Oh, yeah. And Marvel owns the rights to all the Knights characters again. Lionsgate has forfeited Blade, Punisher, all of them.
Yeah, and not only that, you get the advantage of, I mean, like we were saying with things like Constantine, things like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., things like Gotham, it takes 3, 4, 5 episodes to build these characters, or you could put it on Netflix and like, here's the entire run of all 6 episodes of Daredevil, go nuts.
Right, and people will burn through
and
it
critically,
and enjoy
and critically,
it much
like
quicker.
As far as like getting buzz and getting critical acclaim for like you've told your whole arc and we get to see what your plan was from beginning to end, plus you get to write it that way, I feel like it makes it more
not like critically
buzzworthy.
People like it's now people it,
that's how they want to
that's how they
want
to
they're going to
binge watching
right.
is a big thing now. People wait. I notoriously wait for shows till they come out on Netflix or you know DVD Blu-ray to watch. Which reminds me, I am still a week behind picking up the new Mad Men season. I need to get in the stores to get that. I know. I've started How I Met Your Mother, the final season, finally.
Ooh, yeah,
but it's like 6 months late, you know. But it's still like then I was able to knock out 5 episodes just last night to get going. So it wasn't a matter of one a week. I have to be specific to that night or I have to pay extra for a DVR service and all that. I'm just paying my... I'm not even paying for Netflix, but I'm just getting my Netflix. Whoa. And... So
just
don't listen.
Just kidding.
Netflix,
yeah,
the event
is,
that you're wanting
is,
to sponsor a podcast. That was
yeah,
nonsense.
Because Netflix
totally
is wanting. Okay, then I'll pay for it. So yeah, so a lot going.
The rest of us definitely pay for it.
A Netflix. Lot going on in the comics universe on the movie side, but another big announcement from Marvel yesterday, or I guess when this airs, Monday of this week, it all ends this summer. So right before. I don't even remember what are they calling their new big arc that starts at the end of next summer, Tyler?
The new one or the one like the original Sin?
No, the one Marvel's about to do the big. I can't remember what it's called, but there's another all universe encompassing arc that's planned right before it. Now they're teasing that this summer is it all comes to an end. So, what does it mean? Any speculation? Is it them finally? They've cut out Fantastic Four. Are they going to back out of X-Men now? Is that what it means? Are they going to kill off a major character? Or is this just build up to that new big all-universe
so
arc?
So here's the problem I have with it. And it's not a problem so much because I love comics. And I love crazy shit they do with comics. But the problem is like now that comics are in the mainstream, like people get excited about these giant comic announcements like Thor's a chick and we're going to kill Spider-Man. Or we're going to.
Can we just, the last time we talked about this, can we just take your thing you're about to say and just splice it back in that we've already recorded here?
No one stays dead. Nothing stays the same. It's, the status quo will return within the next issue. Like, the fact that people get so worked up about these things that, like, cool, that was fun. Now let me know when you relaunch all those titles again the way they were.
And we say that, and there is that speculation that it's going to do, because DC has seen a lot of success with their new 52
yeah, the new
launch.
52's been great.
So there's a lot of talk, well, maybe Marvel's going to kind of reboot a lot of that stuff. The reason I'm hanging on to it a little bit more is this war with Fox that Marvel has. Mm-hmm. This Fox, it's Sony, it seems like there's actual talks happening about Spider-Man getting reintroduced into things, you know, things that are happening. On top of it, Marvel doesn't feel the pain they do on Sony's franchises. Like, franchise left because they have the Spider-Man one. But they don't feel that pain because they see more money. They see enough to put out merchandise to still really get behind their comics.
Right. You can find Spider-Man toys out there. You can't find the X-Men.
Well, Fox has Marvel's hands tied because they signed that deal at the height of the bankruptcy. They signed it when they were screwed. And so now they're at the point where they're like canceling. Like they ended the Fantastic Four.
But here's the problem. I guess you have to the thing. Like I get it from like a standpoint like on Marvel's side at the same time. Are you legitimately going to tell me that people are going to stop going to see Wolverine movies if Marvel's not actively making Wolverine comics?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
If Hugh Jackman's in that role, people will line up.
Are people
going
to stop going to see Matthew Vaughn make more things like first class or, I mean, not first class, but are people not going to line up for the next...
For Apocalypse?
The next...
yeah, screw your Thanos. I want to see Apocalypse.
Exactly. But
I want to see Tom Hardy as Apocalypse.
Are people not going to line up for Days of Future Past Apocalypse if Marvel's not currently making one of their 15 different storylines in X-Men? Can anyone tell me what's going on between House of M, Decimation, Faith...
Nobody
the
can.
Island.
Can you even tell us what's going on?
I mean,
with all this?
It depends, because in the X-Men universe, you never know, because it's always on the side.
The strategy, though, I think it's the matter of, and we've had like higher ups from Marvel say, should we put the effort into this if we're not? Because they have to get Fox money from their comics.
From the comic sales.
If they introduce a new term or bring a, if they take one of their Avengers characters and put them in the X-Men comic. That character is now all of a sudden available for Fox to use in movies.
At the same time, not a single character or storyline has been used in a X-Men movie that wasn't written like at least 20 years
ago.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
Like,
right.
I mean, right. Between Days of Future Past, First Class, like all those different storylines they've used, the bones of those have been in X-Men comics since like the 60s.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
But I mean,
well,
what
the
happens
same
if
thing
you write a comic character, new character, new X-Men, and it blows up? Then
you just don't make him an X-Men, like Marvel.
Right.
Marvel,
so why,
I'm sure
why
that there are crazy cool, like there. I'm sure there are crazy cool characters that Marvel's got in the works that they're just like, well, he could be a mutant, or nope, radioactive waste, done.
Right.
Fixed it.
Why are you going to keep writing X-Men
all
comics
better.
If you're not going to?
Yes.
Oh,
so I think that's
what I'm saying. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, they can stop making X-Men comics. Like, that's fine. I just don't. Other than the fact that we don't have to pay them like pennies on the dollar every time we sell a comic, I don't like. There's no like Fox isn't going to stop making X-Men movies because they're not getting that
right.
That,
but they can
that
take
sweet,
all that
sweet comic book
who's
money
writing
anymore.
Comics and put them or writing X-Men that's, comics and put them into another franchise.
That's the strategy.
X-Men. I don't want to sound mean, but like I don't know how many of like the really good writers are still writing like the weekly X-Men.
So, but that's kind of the strategy though of all of this effort, all of this, you know, these purchases, all those things talking about X-Men and Marvel's thinking, well, if we have to turn around and give, like you said, 10 cents, and this is just a figurative number, but 10 cents on the dollar to Fox for every time we do something, or risk introducing a new story arc that becomes really popular, a character that becomes really popular, why don't we just quit doing this and then all of a sudden try to put the, they've talked about putting the Inhumans or the, you know, doing something else that becomes our flagship, because they have that flagship title for that, the Avengers side of things. You have your Knights kind of universe and then you have that Mutants world. So how do we replace that? How do we make 100% of that dollar now that we're putting these efforts into? And it may never even come to that because at the same time, like, do you really give up 90 cents on the dollar when X-Men, especially when Fox is going to make that other movie and we can sell these Wolverine comics?
But he's right. The comic side's not the issue there. The problem is that if you do introduce that character and it does become big, now you're talking about $150 million from a movie that could be made on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's going to go into Fox's
pocket.
Yeah. Not your
And the question is, and I could, I don't, obviously, I'm not aware of the ins and outs of a contract that was signed, but what makes someone an X-Men character?
Right.
Like, what puts someone in the X-Men universe that doesn't put them in?
I'm sure it's clear.
Because, like,
I'm assuming it's clearly defined in the contract if Marvel is able to go to the creative team and say, don't do A, don't do B, and don't do C, even at conventions.
Exactly. Because, like, there's characters who technically fall under the Fox umbrella. Who, like, you wouldn't consider to be an X-Men, but have been in lots of X-Men storylines, like Deadpool.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Deadpool is by no means an X-Men. He's not even technically a mutant. He's just a guy who his powers happen to come because of a Weapon X thing, and his a lot of his early, and maybe it's first appearances, like, his first appearances is, like, an X-Force, which is, like, the Cable, like, X-Men.
And all of that does fall under Fox's umbrella.
Exactly. So I'm just curious, like, how they determine, like, he has mutant powers, because obviously the Avengers is using Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, who are most definitely mutants in the comic books, but are being made into something
They may
else.
Or may not be Magneto's children.
Exactly.
We
well, I'm
will
just saying,
find
like,
out.
Can I, as a executive at Fox, if I can use Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, like, is it because they're primarily started as Avengers and then it comes out later on that they are mutants? Like, I'm confused as to where the lines, because they're both using Quicksilver
That's
now.
True,
like,
right,
can
yeah.
I, as a Marvel executive, can I put Wolverine in the next Avengers movie and just say that his powers, he's not a mutant?
No, I know certain characters will not, because I'm sure there's also probably that matter of yeah, we can get away with Quicksilver going in the both. But you grab Wolverine, you grab a Spider-Man from Sony, you grab whatever without, those studios are going to go, whoa.
Right.
This is a good 9 figures sitting on the table that you're taking away from us here.
I'm sure Quicksilver the language in the contract lists specific characters.
Oh, I'm sure it does, but like, there's all these weird, like, the minute you start to dig into that comic booky, you know, who's in what camp thing, it starts to get
especially because
really...
we're talking about that next Marvel arc that's going to, that's another way. How are they going to handle
that?
Is the X-Men not even going to be in that huge universe arc?
That's one of the big, what do you want to say? Like, assumptions that a lot of the fans are making, or people who, like, really follow this, is the reason that they're going the Inhumans is they have a way to introduce a lot of these quote-unquote mutant characters as Inhumans as opposed to...
To X-Men.
X-Men.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, like, you make them not mutants, you make them Inhumans who have been exposed to whatever the gas is, and now they have powers not unlike those of a mutant, but they're actually Inhumans.
So our non-comic children over here, do y'all have anything to add?
We're enjoying the conversation.
Okay.
I'm not that familiar with the Marvel universe.
Every time we dive down the comic book rabbit hole, you can just go on for hours into it.
Well, that's
the minutia.
And we can't stop you, Tyler.
There's no stopping. Tyler is like the juggernaut. He is the...
Can't stop me. Do you know who I am?
Once he gets going.
The juggernaut, bitch.
I'm the juggernaut, bitch.
So anyways.
I still can't believe they put that line in the movie.
Yeah, well, you knew it was coming. I mean, it had to. But, A lot going on, obviously, especially with this crossing over and everything. Exciting nonetheless. And it's great because I think now we just touch on another thing that I didn't even think of initially, but as we were just discussing it, made me think, how does Marvel handle that next all-universe story arc with now these new problems on the table? Because they didn't have to deal with this 10, 15 years ago. In the 90s, when you're doing this stuff, you're doing that. And DC doesn't have to deal with it when they do it because it's all, you know, under... But how do they deal with that? So that might be something interesting to check out in the comic book world next summer into fall. But beyond comic stuff, beyond that, we had a couple other big things that happened this week, and I know we wanted to talk about those. Tyler's had the chance to see some of it up close. Adam definitely wanted to discuss it. But a new Call of Duty out this week?
Yeah, I played it. I mean, I was at the midnight release, and I've only played the game for a couple hours, but it's definitely different than a lot of your Call of Duties. Number one, it's the first time they've put as much focus into the single player story. They did a lot of really interesting things. Mocap, Kevin Spacey's the main character. There's a lot of Kevin Spacey
in the beginning.
Well, he's the CEO of a very large.
Oh, okay. So he's a politician.
Sort of. He basically runs a private army called Atlas.
Yeah.
I haven't played the multiplayer much, but it's very different. It takes place like 40 years in the future.
Right.
You're rocking like exoskeletons that allow you to do double jumps and hovers and rip car doors off of cars and throw them across the ramp. And
what's the live, die, repeat? What is it?
The
Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow stuff going on here?
No. Just
not that size.
It's
like
it's similar to it.
Okay.
It's basically
like a muscle suit, basically a
metal skeleton that just like straps onto your arms, legs, and like.
What
back.
Was the
just
there like, was the one with yeah, a?
I repeat.
What is it?
Just like the one in Live, Die, Repeat.
I was thinking more
smaller.
Of
right. Yeah.
What's the movie with Matt Damon and it's got the like everybody's
Elysium.
Living.
It's
Elysium.
Significantly
Thank
more
you.
Similar to the one in
okay.
Elysium.
Okay.
Not,
okay.
So still less.
Did anybody see that movie?
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was okay.
It was all right.
Sorry? Okay.
I like District 9 better.
So you have a new movie then, District 9 sequel mixed with a Short Circuit coming out.
Not a sequel, just happens to be by the same director.
It's Chappie. The trailer dropped this week. Looks a little bit like Short Circuit with some District 9 undertones.
A little drama, a little comedy about an AI robot built by Dev Patel, and apparently Hugh Jackman's trying to destroy it.
We're gonna hold this thought real quick. Aaron, what did you just accomplish on Peggle that you're celebrating so much over there?
No, one of the people that I knew in my hometown just became a senator. It's pretty neat.
Okay, we
Senator
were,
of Colorado.
No, that's anyways. So
awesome.
Okay, no,
no politics
today. Yep.
Anyways, politics, no Ebola, and what was the other one?
Chicken.
There you go.
Yeah.
whatever. I don't know. I don't even remember what it was.
Was it evolution? Maybe.
Yeah. No talk about evolution. That's right.
Tyler doesn't believe in it.
Oh my god.
So
first of all, Iggy doesn't believe it.
No, it's
first of all, using the word believe is just wrong on so many counts to begin with.
Using it like
okay.
That.
Nope. Okay. Yeah. Down the rabbit hole. Thank you.
Anyway, I mean Chappie, it's a first trailer. I thought it looked interesting. It does.
I don't want to dismiss it. I mean,
if there's something I really want to talk about, let's just talk about Interstellar for the
yes,
rest
please.
Of the episode.
Oh my
please
goodness.
Thank you.
But before we get to that, there was another new trailer I watched today.
The Minions?
Yes.
Heck yeah.
Did y'all watch that trailer yet?
No.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I probably will see it, but
I don't need to watch the trailer. I'm going to go see it.
It definitely smacks of a this in any other in normal circumstances of any other franchise, this would have been like either the cartoon we developed for like the Disney Channel, or B, it's
straight
like
to video.
Straight
or it's
to video.
Be like well, the Penguins of Madagascar.
Exactly, the Penguins of Madagascar. It's
penguins
a straight
of
to video.
And then Ice Age is doing the squirrel, that squirrel.
It's a straight to video we're going to do a straight to video, and then off of that, we're going to spawn a cartoon that runs for 2 years.
Wait a second. Fox is releasing a child's movie called Scat. Is that what the squirrel's name is really on that?
I think so.
I don't know.
Scat or Scrat, I can't remember.
So basically, Scrat probably sounds more.
But the Minions. I mean, that was the best thing about Despicable Me. So
it what the trailer though looks great because they're going through history trying to find
the most
despicable villain to follow, and so it shows them like constructing the pyramids, and they have the plans upside down, so it like falls over. They shoot Napoleon in the back on accident, and. There was some of the other ones too. There's a lot of good. Oh, Dracula! Dracula pops up and they're like, "Happy birthday!" And they open the window, pop the window open, and everything on him and stuff. So they do all this stuff. It's pretty. It was a funny trailer.
I don't know how it sustains an entire movie for anyone who's not
dude 10.
They're Minions.
You give me 20 minutes of banana.
I'm there.
I'm sorry.
Right.
The best part of the sequel.
80 minutes. The best, not 20 minutes.
You do 20 minutes of the banana part. You do 20 minutes of this killing off these mm-hmm. historical people.
So basically, we're gonna have four shorts.
Hey,
pieced together to
Works
make an 80-minute movie.
Hey, it's Minions.
Not
banana?
For my $10.
Nah.
No, sir.
I'm right there with you, Adam.
Banana.
Yeah, there's gotta be something more going on there.
Okay, I will let us go into Interstellar now since it opens this weekend.
Hooray!
It'll be open by the time this airs.
You will have already seen it by the time this.
People
airs.
Are freaking out about it. Although people are also freaking out about Birdman and Big Hero 6, which is also on the theater run right now. We're getting a lot of good movies right now, too.
Yeah.
I guess we're getting into that holiday movie season.
It's getting holiday season.
Yeah. But, Interstellar, The Guardian was the article that we read.
Yep.
Interview. Fantastic. Lengthy article. A lot of details about the movie, what Warner Brothers gave up to be a part of it, where it even started from, a little bit into Christopher Nolan's
ideas about how to make movies
and details,
creative process and
yeah
stuff
that's
like
a good
that.
Way to put it just what he go like what's going through his head that you know talking about some of that and I know Tyler
well,
touching on the Warner Brother part but I wanted to mention like they talk about how he would watch the film and he would mirror it with the two different
catch color correction
the
and
digital
light corrections and
yeah the digital
like that.
Version that they transferred over from the 70mm. And he would mirror it so that he could see the two by side.
Catch things.
And he would, like, the detail he would notice that would be off.
Right.
Like
he
it
got
was
to one point of brightness.
Oh, yeah, a difference.
Right. And his, the technical guy who was doing all the work was like, oh, okay, well, I'll look into it. I'm pretty sure we got it right.
You're lying to me.
Right. And then he came the next day and was like, no, so I checked the camera, and yeah, you're right. It was off by one point.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And he picked that up with his eye.
Well, they had
a lot of
quotes from people who have worked with him, and then people like Tarantino was.
Oh, I love
the
Tarantino quotes.
About, like, yeah, he's awesome. Man.
Just every three words was a cuss word too in the quote.
Well, the best Tarantino was how so recently he had a screening just for directors, like directors who are friends of his. From Paul Thomas Anderson was there. Tarantino was there. And Tarantino's quote was something along the lines of, we were all sitting there and I realized this is the first time since The Matrix that I was super excited to see something and I had no idea what it was about.
Yep, that's,
right.
Yeah.
That's it. That's pretty good praise right there.
But I think the most telling, and there was like, they explained it afterwards, but one of the most telling quotes is they're talking to a movie producer, or like an executive at a movie studio who basically boiled it down to, and it's basically his track record with his data points of just success after success after success. Christopher Nolan is the only director in Hollywood who could walk into a studio with a pitch and walk out with $200 million to go make a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yeah, but then they realize, and then they're like, but at the same time, he's also grossed over $3 billion worldwide and has never made a movie that didn't come in under budget.
Yep.
Right.
He gives back money to the studio every time and then goes and makes $1 billion off it.
Yeah. So. Enough so that Warner Brothers was to be involved in Interstellar. It gave up some of the money, you know, gave up some money, basically.
Gave up rights to
South Park, to
South
a couple
Park,
franchises.
Friday the 13th and an A-list Warner Brothers movie to be
named later.
To be named.
And then
and
also
Legendary gave up part of the chunk of Superman V-Spec.
Yeah.
Batman.
Wow. Batman, right.
All of that to get the
just
international.
So they could internationally, distribute Interstellar.
Yeah, right. So Paramount
movie
still
with no, like, no plans of a sequel, no nothing like that. This isn't a trilogy. That
like, legitimately not a movie
like
you could probably even
make
a sequel to.
Movie. And they don't even get all the rights, just the international rights. Like, good grief.
It's crazy.
I mean, that speaks volumes for a studio to do that about what they must believe in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the fact that they wouldn't even have had skin in the game if he hadn't brought the idea to them after it fell through at Paramount.
Because he feels like he
right
owes something to Warner Brothers after like all the stuff they did for him throughout the Batman.
Yeah,
process.
And that's saying that there's in this industry that we know is just looking out for yourself, backstabbing people who work hard and stuff may never get anywhere with it type thing. And then you see something like a story like that. It's pretty cool. I think so at least. Yeah. But definitely all of this that we're just talking about, we haven't even gotten into the details of the movie yet. So
yeah, right. Yeah. So
the only complaint I had about the article, which was fantastic, is I've been doing my best to stay away from anything that fills any of the gaps in about what this movie's about.
Yep.
And the article definitely has some plot point spoilers sprinkled in throughout.
Oh,
there.
About the when he's on
about
the
relativity,
planet.
About
yeah.
relativity, and
it's
about
like,
how long. Now, granted, from the trailers, I'd picked a lot of that was the concept up showing, you know, that character at different ages and showing, you know, the whole theory of relativity and the wormhole and stuff.
Well, but now the Nerdcast is giving some of it up.
Just a little.
It
bit.
It seems
just
like a huge
bit.
Chunk
just
of the movie.
Tip.
I mean, it definitely harkens back when you start because a lot of it, like he worked with a lot of people to model like the whole wormholes and faster than light travel and the whole Einstein and relativity and stuff like that. And a big part, I mean, if you haven't seen the movie yet, you don't want to know. A big part of the movie is basically around the fact that if we travel interstellarly at like relativistic speeds, it's for every minute that passes or hour that passes here, years are passing, you know, for
right.
people back on Earth kind of thing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, in the
sense that I was saying, it kind of harkens back to that whole concept that was the reverse of the Inception concept.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, and then you're also talking about he not only, you know, not only do they have this idea that is, you know, pretty complex and pretty set in science. I mean, there's science being done by this. They went out and they, you know, who's the leader in this field right now? Oh, yeah. And he works at Caltech. Okay, yeah, we're going to go talk to him. And we're actually going to walk him through this process, and we're going to create software to help make what he thinks.
What a black hole would actually look like.
Right, what a black hole actually looks like. And then this guy, who does nothing but study black holes, looked at the footage that they created and is now going to write, you know, is going to use that footage and use that
to write academic papers.
Right, to make academic papers about what light does around a wormhole. Like, good grief. That just... As someone who loves science and loves movies and certainly loves science fiction, that's just really, really exciting to see. Like, yeah, we see lots of people do all sorts of research about the movie that they're making, but never that I've known of in this detail. Like, yeah. Good grief.
And from, I mean, granted, like, obviously not everyone's seen it. There's not all the critics, you know, the critiques have been released, but from the people who have seen it, the response has been that it's, even with all the complex ideas and things going on the screen, it's one of his most affecting movies, I guess, most emotional movies. I'm excited.
I am.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
I mean, he hasn't made a thing yet that I walked out of and wasn't, like, super, like, I'm glad I saw it. Like, there's some of them that afterwards, like, the more you think about it, the less you're like, eh. Like, they have that definitely, like, they right at the moment, if it's over, you're like, oh, my gosh, that was fantastic. Like, 'cause they.
Which one?
What do you mean?
Which movie?
One kind of dwindles for you?
Inception. It doesn't work for me as well.
I go
multiple
with that.
Times through, or then the more you try to like, And you shouldn't try to, but the experience of watching it the first time was like, wow. The more times you see it, the more you try to like think it through, pick it apart. You're just like,
right.
Eh. It's still fantastic. Don't get me wrong. I still love the movie, but some of them continue to work for me. Like every time I watch The Prestige, I'm
you have to see.
That was well put together. Same thing with Memento.
Memento's phenomenal.
What?
You stop it.
I love you all.
And Insomnia. I would say probably his weakest one is probably Insomnia, and I still love that.
That's a fantastic, and it's a well-done movie.
Yeah, right. It's just a good thriller.
So it's exciting. Bob, when are you seeing it? I mean, I'm not even going to ask, are you going to see it this weekend? When and where?
Well, I really love
it. Or tomorrow.
I really plan on, like, well, I wish. I really want to see it in IMAX, and I'm not going to be able to get a chance to see it this weekend, so it's probably going to be probably for another week or so.
Oh, Bob's not going to see it opening weekend.
I might. So, since you guys were talking about it earlier, that they're opening the 70mm early.
2 days early, yeah?
Yep.
And tomorrow. I'm going to be in
Adam's
Kansas
in sick
City
Thursday.
Tomorrow.
We will
see. V for Vendetta. I might try to make that happen.
Is it a later showing? Because, like, I can't make
I guess it's all day.
See, I can't make the V for Vendetta showing, but I can definitely make... The only problem is I told a buddy of mine that I would go see it with him, and he's in Miami until, like, Saturday or Sunday.
Oh, well, you guys are different.
You can go see with me on Wednesday and then go see it with your buddy on Saturday.
And movies before bros, right?
I mean, it won't be the first time I've lied to him about having seen it for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyone want to wear my costume tomorrow when they go to the V for Vendetta showing? Because I can't be there.
I can't fit in your costume.
Just put on the cape and the mask and the hat.
Getting a mask.
Oh, they're giving out masks there.
Do you want to wear my hat and my cape?
No.
And the boots?
No. Oh, ow. No.
The boots.
And the corset?
No. Nobody,
I want to see
nobody wants that. No, they don't.
I kind of want to see
I just
Adam
feel like if you put it on, then I could just, you can take pictures and I can pretend like I'm there with you.
What?
Because it's like.
That just got weird.
Just tomorrow, right as the movie's getting ready to start, I'll text you. Right before it starts, so I don't get kicked out of the draft house, and you can start your movie here, and it'll be like the same thing.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna do it.
No, I'm actually.
You can dress up
and
you can do all that here, right?
Yeah. I'm
tell
her ahead of time
like
what you're gonna
alone.
Order. What you're gonna order, so she can make the same meal here.
Make the same. Yep.
I can't make that the mushroom pizza. Oh,
well, maybe that's not what he orders. He can order something you can make.
Yeah, but that's what I want.
Well, I don't tell you, champ.
You're gonna have to order mushrooms, Adam.
Have you guys ever had? I can't even remember what it's called, but it's like the mushroom pizza from the Draft House. It's freaking delicious. I don't even care that much about pizza.
I have not.
I would never, in a fancy restaurant, I would never order pizza, except that's what I always get there. Cause
I don't know how you
good.
Order
I
just, anything other than the Royale with cheese.
I get upset with things on my pizza that are vegetables other than tomato sauce.
What's wrong with you, man? Yeah. It's so good.
No, I'm planning on Big Hero 6 this weekend. I know it's
That'll be fun.
I'm really curious about that movie.
Yeah, me too.
Because it's a really odd comic book, and I'm really curious to see how they adapt it.
Yeah, should be interesting.
All right, so Time Out New York, which Time Out is, I guess, an international thing. They sent us an email, asked us to talk a little bit about this, to get our opinion on their list of 100 greatest action movies of all time. So they just released the list this week. Wanted
of
our opinion
all
on it.
Time.
Some of the panelists include people like Danny Trejo, other action stars, action movie makers, as well as they said. I think it was up to like I think there was they said up to 30 or 40 people were actually on this panel. So
good
a number
grief.
Of people putting in there. They released the list. Unfortunately, the email I sent you guys on the way I have my email. So no, I can access my Gmail on my phone. Hold on, so I can actually see the email I sent. But the list is, it's a little finicky on their site because you got to go look at them. Was it 10 at a time or 20
at a time?
No, I see. I got them all.
So you have to do it kind of weird there. So
I don't want to get like too critical of it before we even start. It's just hard to what you classify an action movie.
Yeah.
Like, does it have to be present day? Does it have to have
well we have things,
guns and things?
It's
like,
and that's part of where
can
the
it be, can it be a comedy and an action? Can it has to be dramatic? You know,
I think any of that qualifies. And part of that
if
is
that's true. If like, anything that involves any sort of action is true,
has to have one major.
There's a lot of
let me answer. Let me answer your question. Let me answer your question. I think any of that works.
Criteria.
Because you have things like, what were we talking about? Ben-Hur is on
here.
Well, and you got Gladiator.
Raging Bull.
Yeah, 100.
Yeah, which
that would be on the list.
It's very low, though.
Like I said before, any list that puts the remake of Miami Vice 5 slots ahead of Gladiator.
Any list that puts the remake of Miami Vice on it. And this is coming from one of the biggest Michael Mann fans there is.
Just saying.
I do not care for the
Miami
list.
Poor.
Oh, it was terrible. But there's 100 movies on the list, and there is quite a... If you were to actually see them on a shelf with their genre, they would be in... Not all of them would be under action.
No.
No.
But they have bits of action sequences. And Raging right. Bull's got some big scenes in the boxing ring. There are some
and don't get me wrong,
moments in Ben-Hur.
Like, I'm a big, big fan. Like, I have a special place in my heart for that period of time back in the 90s for The Rock. But you don't go putting The Rock. If you're going to put, like, certain of these movies, if you're going to put them on the list, you can't put them below other ones.
When you say The Rock, you mean the movie The Rock?
The movie The Rock.
Sean Connery.
I mean, I really like Dwayne Johnson as well.
People's Elbow?
So someone was on Reddit the other day, and there's a subreddit on Reddit called Shower Thoughts.
Okay.
And it's just people writing random, basically what you would think of as shower of thoughts. And the thought, this person's thought was, Dwayne Johnson should host a cooking show where he cooks gourmet meals and the contestants have to try and guess what he's cooking based just on the smell.
Can you smell? Smell what The Rock is cooking.
I'd watch that show. I don't watch reality TV. I'd watch that show.
And then when they answer, he immediately, it doesn't matter what The Rock is cooking. but I will say, like, at the top of the list, and this is true of a lot of these, once you go to 100, you're going to have some weird stuff at the bottom.
Yeah, number 86.
I mean, number one, you've got me hooked. 1 through 3, you're solid. Die Hard, yeah. Raiders of the Lost Ark, Terminator 2. Those are 3 of the greatest action movies ever made.
Yeah.
I'm totally on board with everything that's going on there. Hard Boiled. I really like it.
I don't know
about
it.
I don't know if it's
the
fourth.
I don't haven't seen.
I don't know if it's the fourth greatest action
movie. I would agree. I don't think that's number 4. However, I am shocked that neither Bob nor Adam have seen that. Because it is a solid action.
The only one I haven't seen, and it's sad.
I think I might have. I just don't remember it.
The only one I haven't seen, and I don't remember. I don't have memory of seeing it. Is Police Story, and I know it's a fantastic movie.
I mean, Road Warriors number 5. I'm going to put that number. I would have put that number 4.
There's a lot of them that I'd put. But I mean,
so let's hold on before we go further because we're jumping. Let's say the top 10. So at 10,
top 10
is Aliens. 9, yes. 7 Samurai. 8, The Wild Bunch. 7, Police Story. 6, Enter the Dragon. 5, The Road Warrior. 4, Hard Boiled. 3, Terminator 2, Judgment Day. 2, Raiders of the Lost Ark. 1, Die Hard. Again, this is timeout.com's 100 greatest action movies. So this isn't Project Nerd's list, but we are dissecting the list.
Girl,
so
like
that
it.
Is but that
like,
is the
but
top
here's,
10.
Here's the big thing. So like, 10. Just to throw it out like there, because how finicky a list like this can be, you have number 1, what I would consider to be a straight up action flick, Die Hard.
Right. Yeah.
Number 2, more adventure, pulpy, like the Indiana Jones sort of thing. Number 3,
lots of action, yeah.
Hard sci-fi. With, and then number 4, foreign police procedural for the better part.
But it's action.
It's an action
from
flick,
right.
But it's
action
definitely
flick, right.
It's definitely an action flick. Then you have post-apocalyptic, like, desert Road Warrior.
So
then you have
good,
straight up, like, the Kung Fu movie. Then you have another police procedural with Police Story, like straight up like 80s, like hard boiled, like the thing. And then Kurosawa and like,
obviously,
samurai movie, like Japanese samurai movie. And then another hard sci-fi with Aliens.
And look at number 11.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Two
is
with
that
James Cameron
they don't
in the top 10.
Fit that, that like super hardcore action.
Well, I mean,
well,
a couple of them do.
There's a ton of action in Aliens. That's the thing. Like,
yeah.
From a sci-fi standpoint, the first Alien is much more
it's a more
sci-fi,
of a horror movie.
Horror suspense, whereas
Aliens
the second
is
one
pure
is,
action.
I mean, you got the Colonial Marines. You
got
a lot of
blood. You got guns and bloods
movie,
and body bags.
Have you
and,
never seen Aliens?
Oh,
you would love
almighty.
It.
Because a lot of these.
I saw it when I was real
A lot
small.
Of these, like, I don't even
we
know.
We
like,
got to go one at a time here, guys. Hold on. We
no,
got it.
No, we don't.
It's just
everybody talk all at the same time.
Rules.
All right. Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
Are you going to talk?
I don't. No, anybody can. But it's just a mash of noise for the past 10
but
minutes.
But I don't. There's not. I think it's. Action is one of those genres that's hard to quantify. Like sci-fi, you can say, like, this is definitely a sci-fi movie. This is definitely a comedy. This is but action, there's so many movies that could be action movies, but it's action comedy,
does
action
Lethal
sci-fi.
Weapon get in there?
And then there's other movies that technically
well,
have
I mean,
a lot of, like,
I know it does.
Action in them, but aren't what you would consider to be an action movie.
Like I said, I mean, as you get
like
down as you get down in the lower numbers, I mean, we got The Mission. Jeremy Irons and Robert De Niro in the Amazon you know, in a religious.
Yeah. Well, and you have a lot of like westerns that feature very little action, like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, which I love. Not a lot of action in that movie.
Mm-hmm. It's the same with Heat. It's a fantastic movie.
But that's a thriller, exactly.
There's a huge shootout scene, but up until that point, it's
more...
Well,
and that's true. They have one of my favorite movies on here. They have Bullet, which has probably one of the greatest chase scenes ever filmed in cinema.
Probably the
I don't know.
Greatest
greatest chase scene. It's, okay, so here's the thing about the Bullet chase scene. Sometimes I have trouble putting it above the chase scene from The French Connection.
Yeah.
That chase scene is really good. And I also have a secret heart soft spot for the chase scene from Blues Brothers because it's fantastic.
I can hear your argument with The French Connection, mm-hmm. and I can push it down the toilet because the Bullet... I'm sorry.
Okay, so okay, wait, the Bullet chase scene's fantastic.
Can I raise you a mustache?
That legitimately might... Like, I'm not. It's not the only... There's other sequences, but that's like the action
I put
of that
Steve
film.
McQueen behind the wheel of the car, and that's all I have to say.
That's
right?
A win.
That's right?
Just saying. French Connection is fantastic.
And I mean, and you have... You could say, oh, Steve McQueen. Well, here's Gene Hackman. And exactly. Yeah, like, yeah. I mean...
Or another one, Scarface. Like, there's some sort of action in Scarface.
Yeah.
Like, the final sequence and some, like, murdering of guys in showers. But there's not a lot.
That's not action. That's, like, slow horror.
I like how you say murdering of guys in showers. No, he's tied to the shower rod, and they saw his arms off with a chainsaw.
That's gross.
North by Northwest, number 63.
Man, that part with that plane.
The plane.
I mean, that's intense.
Mm-hmm. North by Northwest, I'll let that one slide just because it's Hitchcock.
But number 64, Runaway.
I feel like there's a mix here. Because, like, if you go back recent, you know how AFI does their 100 years, 100 blanks. Yeah. They did one year, which was 100 years, 100 thrills.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like thrillers, but it's like a weird mix of like things like Psycho and Jaws and stuff like that. But then also things like, you know, Bullet, French, like things that are thrillers but have action in them.
Yeah.
So like I said, it's just a tough, action's a tough genre to like nail down.
You know, I was wondering, where's Speed in this list?
Ooh, I mean,
so that's my question.
Yeah,
Speed, so
action film.
So my question there is we obviously, they're just, everybody's this. It's hard, and I think Tyler put it on there. It's hard to say what it is. So, what do we? Let's start. We'll go around the room. What's missing from it? So, Bob, Speed,
definitely Speed.
Okay, and because,
like I said, it's one of those films that's action from beginning to end. It's pretty nonstop, and like I said, it was well received. It did well in the box office, did well with the critics. Like I said, I just think it's one of those movies that should be on there compared to The Mission and some of the others. Miami Vice. I mean,
pull that one right
off. Tyler, Adam, anything you've noticed missing off the list?
I would have liked to have seen a representation of... The Great Snake Plissken with Escape from New York.
Oh yeah,
I mean that's action packed. That movie's. I mean it's
cheesy
parody.
Action,
it's over
fantastic.
The top. Yeah. Even Escape from L.A., which is the lesser of the two,
much less.
But they're both. They both have more action in them than Hathi's on there, and it's Kurt. Kurt Russell and Snake Plissken, and it's fantastic. And I definitely think a case could be made for more James Bond movies, specifically the newer ones, like Casino Royale by itself. It's one of the greatest action flicks. That has more action than half the movies on this list, and they definitely had a lot of new movies on here between.
So speaking of that, where Lord of the Rings, like
that's the thing, that's the complaint. That's where I get a little like where I give them a little bit of a break on like Gladiator's like historical fiction thing. There's a shit ton of action in it. There's wars and swords and gladiators and stuff. But is it an action movie?
Return of the King has like one of the biggest body counts in movie.
It's a fantasy. You know, that's where you start getting your lines start to blur.
But if you say that, then why is Ben Hur in there?
Yeah, exactly. Ben Hur's way up there, but Gladiator's way down the bottom. But yeah, like the only two James Bond movies that make the list are Thunderball
was one,
and From Russia with Love, which both have a significant amount of action compared to some other. Like no movie with like Pierce Brosnan is going to make the action list. You know,
Goldeneye
has a little bit of action.
Goldeneye has more action than From Russia with Love.
From Russia with Love has a jetpack.
Yeah, Goldeneye has Sean Bean.
Does have a jetpack.
Has a jetpack. But think about the actual like fighting like action scenes.
No, and yeah, I know. There's
more fighting in the first like 5 minutes of Casino Royale than there's in all like of the Pierce Brosnan movies put together.
Probably.
So no, that,
but
I,
there's
I
action
that.
Sequence. Like if you go back to some of the Connery ones, there's definitely a lot of like action sequences, like from like Man with the Golden Gun, like they're running through the bazaar and the guys, you know, like that kind of stuff. But I feel like one of the Daniel Craig movies should have made the list.
Agreed.
And then that's another thing that opens a whole other door with the number of like crime and police procedurals, plus the number of like kung fu and Asian. Very little representation from like the British crime genre, specifically Layer Cake,
Snatch,
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, that kind of stuff. Action. But Layer Cake by itself, I think, has some pretty good.
Yeah.
A couple other ones. I mean, you see. Oh, I guess, the Bourne Identity is on here, but then you have the Bourne Ultimatum. Or you go into two Police Stories, you know, the Police Story sequel's in there, but then they have the first Star Wars and not necessarily, or I'm sorry, well, Episode 4, so the first actual Star Wars.
No.
I know, we have to be careful how we say that now, but you don't have any other representation from Star Wars. We talked about Lord of the Rings. So there is some things that are, I would definitely say, are questionable. You know, Bullitt is a great pick for Steve McQueen, but, like, how much
but
other,
I mean, I don't
think
I'm
going to
blame this on the voters or the... You know, time out. You know, did they give anyone rules or just say, hey, here's action?
Right, that's what
and
I would
give
like
anyone direction.
I don't think
on,
they
like,
gave any
here?
Rules because if Danny Trejo's on the board to vote and then Machete makes the list, I mean,
I'm
okay with that. I mean, you gotta represent the brand.
Okay, guys. So obviously, Aaron,
definitely
Aaron, you have a couple to mention.
Yeah, I don't see Bad Boys and I'm kind of pissed about it. Like, that's... I'm pissed.
We have an movie list with no Michael Bay.
Michael Bay didn't
make
the list.
That might be a good thing.
I mean,
Michael Bay made the list.
Whatever.
I thought you said The Rock's in here. The Rock's
in here. Oh, and I forgot The Rock was in
here. Okay.
What Will Smith movie is even in this? I'm sorry, Will Smith? Where's Born on the 4th of July and Men in Black?
Born on the evening.
Independence Day?
Shut up.
You mean Tom Cruise? I mean, they're friends, I guess.
I'm a little bit. And then what about, I mean, if we're going to include some Westerns in here, where's Tombstone?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to some of these other Westerns, Tombstone is another one of those ones where you have great action moments, but it's not filled.
Well,
but that could be said about the other Westerns.
Yeah,
we've
and you said that
up.
Like there's a lot of Westerns on here, but is there a John Wayne movie on here?
Yeah.
Where?
I don't know.
Or even something like a... And then Westerns, like you said, those are get into a weird, like, a lot of the really good Westerns have very little action in them.
Right. Yeah, but then
there's
you
like
have...
one guy
it's
gets
all,
shot,
it's
and it's
all
that
build-up.
It's all
right,
that
yeah.
tension.
I will give
like
you...
Something like an Unforgiven.
So,
or
the Magnificent Seven, like, the Magnificent Seven has a good amount of action, but there's still some lulls. The Dirty Dozen, as much as you think it would, if you watch that again...
Has Magnificent Seven in there?
Yeah, at the bottom, towards the bottom.
Okay, well, because they've got... I was wondering... I didn't remember seeing it, and you got Seven Samurai at
88.
The top.
Yeah,
so
you got 88, but then you go the to where? I'm sorry, go back up to your. What was I just saying? So we have 88, Magnificent Seven, and then the Dirty Dozen's at 62. And as much as you think of the Dirty Dozen, that's not crazy action packed, you know.
Yeah.
And then I'm going down the list here.
And if you're gonna put the Dirty Dozen on there, I don't know. And I mean, he got in there with Bullitt, but. If you're going to do an action film, you're going to do that genre, where's The Great Escape? Steve McQueen The Great Escape?
That's
like,
true.
I feel like if you're going to do that genre movie as an action flick, so The Great Escape has more action than...
I think
you ride a motorcycle and it's going things.
So this, so talking about timeout.com's top 100 action movies, obviously a mess of feelings brought into this room here, a mash of crazy excitement, confusion, anger... But
need more Steven Seagal and Jean-Claude
Van Damme. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Bloodsport, yeah.
Oh,
is Lionheart
now we're talking about
list?
Where's Demolition Man? We were just talking about.
Oh, no.
Where is
Stallone? Well, Stallone's in here like five times with all the Rambo movies.
Yeah,
so.
But
right.
Where's Demolition Man? We were just talking
Man.
About that.
Oh,
that's
man.
That has like five Academy Award nominated performances in it.
Right.
Wasn't every single we were saying, you were on the phone earlier before we started, and we said every... Sing all five best supporting actors that year came from that movie, right? Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly.
Probably, right. Yeah.
I think
that
it
sounds
was...
right. It should be.
I don't quote me on that because it might have been four out of five.
Rob Schneider definitely got one.
Dennis Leary definitely
qualified.
Well, Wesley Snipes, I think, was in the best actor category.
Oh, with Stallone?
Stallone.
Okay,
yeah.
They were
okay,
in,
that,
I know.
Then Bullock, though, got a supporting nod.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
Pretty much.
What's his name? Is it Brat? Is it Benjamin Brat?
Benjamin Brat.
Yep. So, okay. So either way, it's timeout.com/action. You can go check it out. Pretty interesting. It's really cool of some of the people they got for it.
Oh, Schwarzenegger's there. Predators at 16.
Yeah.
And I mean, Terminator, obviously. Yeah. But, yeah.
But there's some great, I think we all are happy. We all, as much as I think we brought up about 20 times in the past 10 minutes, it's really hard to not only do a list of action movies, it's really hard to do a list of 100 and really hard to get everything thinking. I think, though, we would all be okay to say that top 10 is, wouldn't necessarily be our top 10, but we would say, yeah, that works. Specifically, though, the top three, we all seem pretty
happy. You can't
happy do much
better
spot
on. No, there's nothing jumping out of the top 10 where you'd be like, that shouldn't be on the list. Yeah. Maybe you could say it should be top 20.
Well, those,
but they're all they'd all be right there.
Those three are, I would say, are going to make a list of best movies, like a top 100 of best movies of the last like 30, 40 years.
Yeah,
they're
those
all gonna
top
be there.
Three.
They hit three very distinct genres, and all three are like, those are three movies that you go to as like, that's the template you want to follow. If you're going to make a cool action sci-fi, you know, post-apocalypse thing, Terminator 2, that's where you go.
Right.
If you're going to make this crazy pulpy adventure 1940s, Raiders of the Lost Ark is your template. And if you're going to make like the single everyman against the world, you know, Die Hard is like, Die Hard by itself isn't a genre. Like,
right.
Like it's like Die Hard, but blank. Right. It's like Die Hard, but blank.
He took all of, yeah, that movie took all of the action heroes from guys like Schwarzenegger and Stallone, who were, I'm never going to be that, to Bruce Willis.
And a wife beater and no shoes on, right, crawling through air ducts. Yeah.
But I mean, he wasn't hugely ripped. He wasn't just,
he's not stuck in the forest somewhere.
He wasn't 6'8".
Just,
you know,
your everyman.
He's going bald. Right. His wife has left him.
I could potentially be that guy. If I worked out a little bit more and I ran
and I smoked
a lot of cigarettes. Oh, come on.
So, all right. So timeout.com/action. Again, not Project Nerd's list, but something to check out and definitely give us your feedback on. Maybe there was a movie we didn't catch that you noticed missing on there. Of course, as always,
and Timeout's done a lot of really cool lists. Like,
they've
done some really great lists over the years. That,
so they definitely had that there.
If you want to have a fun discussion with your friends, go pull up a Timeout list and
definitely
let it fly.
see how we do.
But a good seed planted there for things to come. Project Nerd in 2015, to drop a little hint.
Spoilers.
Oh, spoilers. Whoa. But this is going to about wrap it up for us. So if you made it through our confusion of the first 50 minutes and they could understand all of us talking at the same time in the last 10 minutes, congratulations, you've made it to the end and you win an announcement on how you can leave us feedback or ask us questions. Of course, on our Podbean page, our Facebook page, our website, project-nerd as
hyphen.
Yeah.
Hyphen.
Tyler made sure he pointed that out. I left that in there from the last bit podcast that was made up of pieces from our recordings at Rocky Mountain Con.
Project-nerd, really?
Yeah. Okay. You made a big deal about it too. You were like, no, dash nerd, the hyphen, make sure that's in there. Like, you're like,
is projectnerd.com without a hyphen like a website?
It's nothing.
But
however,
it's
owned.
Someone owns it. Okay. I'm
and
curious.
We've sent emails in a roundabout way, not from our names or from Project Nerd, because we don't want, but we've never heard back on anything. So it's got a who is guard on it and everything. So anyways, but that's off. That's an off the microphone conversation for sure. Where we try to get Tyler to spend money for the B-roll footage here so we can acquire that.
Dude, your mom probably owns it and she's listening to this right now. Now she's never going to sell us that.
No. I don't think my mom has the capabilities of buying a domain name.
Does she want to do that?
I'd be very impressed.
I'm super impressed.
Go on Facebook and let us know how Interstellar is. Because we want to know if we should go see
it.
I mean,
well,
we're going to
go
see
it.
Yeah.
All right.
Hopefully we'll have already seen it.
So another week gone. Another week. Next week, hopefully enough of us will have seen Interstellar to talk about it.
Tell us the three
best
action movies of
all
time.
I'm going to go see Big Hero 6. Yeah. Do you agree with those action movies, Liz? Tell us a little bit more. And stay tuned, of course, through this holiday season, as Project Nerd does have some big announcements coming up that we are excited to share with you. So
bum, bum,
that's
bum.
It for another Nerdcast, and we will catch you next week.